Deuteronomy 11, please. One of the few passages that's almost exactly verbatim two places in Scripture. Strange. I mean, you don't get that very often. Verse 18. Therefore shall you lay up these my words, where? In your heart. And don't make the Western distinction between head and heart, you know, and 10 inches different. All that's good preaching. Nothing to do with the Bible. Heart in the Bible is your mind, your emotions, and your will. Get that in your head. So he's saying this has got to be part of you from the center out. He goes on to say, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, meaning they may actually guide how you live. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates. We're going to talk this morning about habits of the home. Father, I ask your blessings on this hour. May this be a profitable time. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. For time, I'm not going to cover I'm just going to read the introduction. We are not what we believe. Unfortunately, I was trained in a kind of fundamentalism that we were what we believe. And if you just believe right, everything kind of turns out right. No, folks, the next statement, we are what we love. So when you say, what do I love? Well, the way to tell yourself what you're really interested in is to work backwards. What do you do all the time? What is the consuming passion of your life? Is it yourself? You should know, by the way, this is not real deep math. Mrs. Hall can teach you deep math. This is simple math. Look back at your life and say, what do I love? So, we are what we love. Love to do and do for love. We love and only love what we repeatedly do. Our habits, customs, rituals, rhythms, the things we do repeatedly. The Sunday school, I've taught this over the 20 years three or four times, or something like it. This is new, but something like it. Three or four things came together recently. There's a book. I cannot recommend the book because I haven't read it. I like the title. I saw the author interviewed, an unsaved woman. I never recommend these books because they either tend to be fluffy or they tend to be so academic most people won't get through them. They're trying to deal with academics of the influence of social media. By the way, folks, you have to be able to explain why you have one-third of kids that just can't pay attention to anything ever. And it has something to do with constant, well, I don't have to go for it. I'm listening to this woman interviewed. And then last year, and I think it was last spring, but it could have been last fall. My wife and I go out with a Labasi family. Mom, dad, a daughter that many of us knew. What did we call her? Babe, but that's not her real name. And the other daughter. Was a son there too? There's a son. Isn't there a son? Another son. He was there. They were all there because they put a tombstone on Sam's grave and they came to see it and we met them and we saw it and everything. It was an embarrassing meal. That family was the most intelligent family, now you hear me, I have ever eaten a meal with. Ever. If I eat meals with most people, they cannot carry on a conversation. They can't have two thoughts that connect. If they talk at all, it's bouncing. And I'm listening. I'm like, honestly, I have never sat down with a family and been more humbled than with that family. I know exactly where Sam Labasi came from. And he didn't drop out of the sky. He dropped out of a family that has conversations for 2 or 3 hours around a table. So if you're not interested in that, then you're not going to be interested in what I'm talking about. And when I said conversation is not the old man talking about himself or the old woman talking about herself. Conversation about ideas, life, what you're doing, what you're not doing, that's what I'm talking about. The Labasi family could encourage you just to spend time with them or or not. I will say this, anybody that knew Sam Labasi knew he was a real dumb guy, wasn't he? All right. I've heard repeatedly in my ministry statements like this. I've had a woman that comes to our church say to me repeatedly, I just can't influence my children. I have no ability to influence my children. And I remember looking at her one time, I said, do they speak English? Do they? Answer the question, do they? Yes, of course. You influence your children, everything you do. I went to eat with my daughter-in-law recently. She made some kind of pasta, which, you know, where she's from, Italians, they make pasta. If she was here, I'd say real Americans, but I won't do that because she's not here. We eat potatoes. So I'm eating pasta, and the first thing I do is start cutting up my pasta, and she goes, I'm like, did I do something wrong? She says, you don't cut your pasta. Really? I didn't know that. She says, you know, and it's like, I'm not learning that stuff, so do me a favor. Don't you ever tell me you can't influence your children. You influence your children in everything. Of course. Unfortunately, in the things we don't want to influence them in. In your notes, let me give you the introduction because I want to get down to really how to do some of this, if I could. In your notes, I'm going to assume this, that we want to pass down the faith. I'm going to assume that Christians want to pass down the faith. I'm going to assume that. Okay? Next. I believe this. We must believe and practice the faith we pass down. Practice being the hard part. You see, there's more to just believing. I think a lot of people believe things, but they don't understand why their kids, the moment they get out of school, get away from Christianity because it was the practicing side. Next, we can only pass down the faith, what we actually believe, love, and practice. That's the only thing you'll ever pass down. Next, we obviously can't pass down what we don't have and don't do. It's impossible to get your children to do something you don't do. Would you agree with that? You know, the old thing, you know, do as I say, not as I do. Good luck on that one. If you're trying to do that, then you're in the wrong church, wrong Bible, wrong Christianity. That is not going to happen, ever. In your notes, how do I state this? Oh, yeah. We can and will pass down everything we love and are. We'll pass down everything we love and are. That's hard to say all that in one sentence, isn't it? So what do you love? I ask you a question. What do you love? It's what you're going to pass down. We pass down the faith best, and this is the beauty of this text, in an indirect or way, incidentally, or in the normal processes of life. Folks, you get a 16-year-old boy, and you're yelling and screaming, you're 16 years late. Because for the first 16 years, you weren't doing what you were supposed to be doing. The yelling, by the way, I've seen parents try to spank their 16-year-old. Spanking is real good from about age 3 to about 5, maybe 6, 7, 8 at the outside, done in a biblical way, that's it. You try to spank a guy that's 16, what you're going to do if he's a male, you're going to have two kinds of men. You're going to have the kind that you can do that and you can break him and he'll be a wimp all his life. Dan Duncan has a guy that goes to his church like that. Comes from another fundamental church, if you want to know who it is. He's a broken man. Or you're going to have a man that beats up his dad when he gets big enough. By the way, child rearing doesn't start when they're 16. It starts when the first day. And it starts in the incidental things. You know what I mean by incidental? Just how you eat your pasta. How you talk at the table. How you don't talk at the table. Do you allow, if one of my children would have yelled at their mother, they would not exist today. I know people that grow up in homes where they yell and spit and cuss their mother out. You played that game with me, you would be dead. Oh, wait a minute, that's the reason my children don't do that. Isn't that shocking? Incidentally, they know this. Do you think kids know this? Yes or no? They do. All right. I don't want to be mean about it. None of this is really mean. Notice what it says in Deuteronomy 6:7. Thou shalt teach them, your children, diligently. I mean, them means the word of God, unto your children. Shall talk of them when? thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So the focus of this text is, first of all, on what we teach, the Word of God. It's the what. It's them, teaching them the Word of God to your children. 11 and 19 says, and you should teach them your children. It's the what, the Word of God. Next, when. When it focuses on what we teach and when we teach. And the word what is used four times in each verse. So it doesn't even leave, it's not one of these things that, you know, Pastor Warren, I don't like that. I don't like, here it is, your ideas. The nice part about this is none of this will be my idea. It's God's idea, so you'll either obey or not. The first time you hear an F-U come out of a kid, where'd it come from? 99% of times it comes from dad. And if you can tell me why a Christian man that's been saved 10, 15, 20 years would still be using that kind of language, I'd be interested in knowing. My guess is it's one of those once saved, always saved kind, and I do whatever I want to do. Next, it also teaches us how we teach, diligently. So what we're going to say is, folks, we're going to focus on the when, but the diligence will be yours. You will have to decide that I'm going to diligently put this into practice. Well, in this text, it gives us four ways or times to teach. And all of these are what I call the incidental things. At the beginning of this, I brought up screen-wise, did I not? I see this woman interviewed. This is what she says. You need to. I'm like, has she been reading the Bible? She says you need to turn everything off and have one meal a day where everything is turned off. How many of you know what everything means? The problem is you don't, because if you're used to having noise on, you think everything's turned off. Everything is turned off. Daddy doesn't have his TV on. Nobody's looking at. Everything is off. By the way, this is what the woman said. I'm like, wow. It's kind of simple, isn't it? Well, let's look at the first one, mealtime. I'm simply taking this concept and applying this to our modern culture. When thou sittest in thine house, under the verses we've already read, I don't need to read again. This is one of the simplest and easiest places to start. Folks, if you're at work and someone's struggling with their children, do not teach them how to spank their children. Do not give them 12 books. Have them start with a mealtime today. Why? Everybody's, well, I'm going to give you the reason why. In your notes, it's real simple. Everybody must eat, yes? How many of you eat every day? Some of you, I think, eat more than once a day. Some of you have to eat at exact time every day. Next, everyone should, this is different than must, should eat together. Now, to even say this, the first time I preached on this subject, I had Dietmar Vonkenet come to me and says, doesn't everybody do this? I grew up on a farm. Everybody ate, we ate in the summertime three meals with my mother every day. Breakfast, lunch, we called it dinner, and supper. You call that dinner. You're confused. We ate three in the summer. In the wintertime when we were in school, we had breakfast with mom and we had supper with mom. And when I say we didn't have anything to look at, it was a time of sitting down and talking. We still do that. Next in your, by the way, am I speaking to any of you? Please look at me. Turn your junk off. I would be very interested, Tim, when they go to Camp Joy, they have to turn their toys off. Is it the whole week or do they get to play with them some? It'd be interesting for adults in this church to turn stuff off for one day. I know. You work for President Obama and you're in the Secret Service and you might get a call. Right. Next, all electronic devices are, as we have read in other books, think screens. Whatever term you use for it must be turned off. So whatever the electronic device is, including your cell phones, by the way, folks, I'm not going to be mad at anybody in this room. I promise myself I will not be, but it irritates me if I'm out with lunch and you're looking at your phone, ever. If the phone rings and there's a reason for you to get it, I understand. When I came here 20 years ago, there were zero people in this church that had a phone. None. Now everybody has a phone and they can't put it down. What's changed? Are you more important? Answer the question. Are you more important? No, it's a habit. It's a fixation. It's asking Frenchie why he has a phone. And he is typical, not abnormal. He has one because everybody else has one, and he might want to check the weather. You say, you're mad at Frenchie? No, we just have to have toys. And now we go, folks, go out to eat. And you'll see the family and all the kids while they're eating or playing. Do we never turn this junk off? Well, you'll understand why it's very important as we move forward here. So, this is just me. Everyone must eat. Everyone should eat together at least once a day. All electronic devices, think screens. And when I say all of them, folks, some of us never turn TV off. Some of us never turn radio off. Some of us, it's just we always have something clicking. Does anybody know what that really is? It's an addiction. But it's an addiction that's safe to have. Nobody will question that. Now, if you're getting drunk, you're in trouble. But it's just an addiction. Next. My way of thinking, only have food and conversation. Food and conversation. Turn off and turn and tune in. I think that's a pretty good way to think of it. We're going to turn everything off and we're going to tune in to each other. Now here's where Pastor Warren becomes a total wimp. I think a minimum once a day, 5 to 7 times a week. I would think it would be better if we could do more, but I don't know why. We have more freedom than we have ever had in the history of mankind, and every person in this room, including the retirees, first words out of their mouth is, I am busy. Why are we so busy? That's everybody's mantra in America. Go back to when I was a kid. I never remember people saying, I'm busy. Today, that's the mantra. But I think a lot of the mantra is the toys we're connected to. We have a hard time disconnecting. Somebody asked to go on vacation with my wife and I recently. I said, now you do realize when we go on vacation, we don't have TV or anything. You know, when we go out to eat, we actually talk to one another. We don't come home and have to watch our TV programs in Mexico. They don't have TVs there. People get nervous about that. It's like, what am I going to do? Talk? Have a conversation? Listen, I got in a car in Zion, Illinois, drove to Kabul, Missouri, 9 hours away. My wife and I never turned on anything for 9 hours. We talked. What about you? And let me say this, my son and daughter are easier to talk to than my wife. I mean, we have noise and interruptions and addictions every place we look. Next. So I would recommend this because I know you are busy. Try to do it 5 to 7 times a week. Otherwise, you're going to have to figure out if your kids are in school, you can't do it at lunchtime. Breakfast is usually too rushed, so it's probably going to have to be the evening meal. Is that about right? Give yourself a little freedom to once or twice a week to be too busy. But my friend, out of 7 days, you need about, I would recommend you do more than 7. But I recognize our lives are, you say, now how is this going to help us? Things best taught here. Remember, we're teaching the Word of God indirectly. The first thing that I see you can teach here is manners. To the right of that, politeness. You want your children, when I am seated at the table, look at me please, and you say, may I have some potatoes please? That's learned at a table. It's also how mom and dad talk. So it's not the old man. See, Rhonda, in the past, old men. I don't know about this one. Old men live by different rules. Well, that's not how Christians behave. Politeness is what everybody does, and manners. Do you realize the problem we have in this culture? We have people that have no manners of any kind. They respect nobody but the person they see in the mirror. They cuss at people. They go into the Navy or the military and last about a week. They have to have a little sign, "I'm under too much pressure." Really? Or what do they call those, Cliffy? "Well, I got a stress card. Cliff didn't smile at me today." Oh, give me a break. By the way, politeness and manners. Look at me. Thank you. You're welcome. Isn't that a nice thing to hear from children? Where are you going to learn that at? Look up here. You learn that from the old man when he says, "Please pass the potatoes." Mom passes the potatoes. The old man says, and you do that. By the way, you are what you do. And over a period of time, just what your family does. Polite. Manners. Good conversation to the right. Good conversation, by the way, means you're talking about something. And a good conversation is this. It's not this. I'm assuming you know the difference. If there is one person in the family that does all the talking, that person needs to be this, gagged, so you actually start having conversation. You know, conversations where you're talking about ideas, events, things, any number of things, what you're reading, what you're doing, how you're doing it. Monologue is the antithesis of what I'm talking about, trying to be a parent. All right, next. Maybe I've already said this. Respect. How did children learn to respect their mother? How did children learn to respect their mother? From the dad. All right, how do children learn to respect their dad? I am a very simple person. Please look at me. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. And it's good for the goslings too. And if you don't know enough about the outdoors, what's good for the male duck is good for the female duck, which is also good for the baby ducks or geese. Don't play games. You cannot play games. See, we go back to the same thing. I want my children to have manners and respect, but I don't want to show it. You're teaching what you are, what you love. This comes naturally at the home. By the way, I have children come to my office, with the exception of one girl, Emily. All the children do not get a piece of chocolate from my office until they say, in their language. Now, some of them don't have much language. Some of them are like Elijah, doesn't really yet speak in long sentences. And some of that is Nene can speak in paragraphs when she was one, so he never gets a chance to talk. But may I say this? I have them say, "May I have a piece of chocolate, please?" And when I hand them the chocolate, I expect, why? I'm not trying to impress you. I am teaching children manners like you. It's just nice to be someplace where people are polite. But I think this, usually in one person in the family, either the husband or the wife, doesn't think the rules apply to them. The children picked up on that real quickly. Mom can watch TV all night. Mom can be distracted. Or dad. No, this has got to be what you are. So, it's a good place to learn these things. Right around the table, talking. Do you realize I would rather talk to my two kids than any of you in this room? Take a breath. We could talk for hours. I remember before grandchildren, the five of us climbing in the back in my little Corolla, and we drove to Southern Illinois 5 hours, and for 5 hours we talked. What do you talk about? Next, maybe I've already said this. Maybe these are all ways of saying the same thing: expressing gratitude, giving thanks. And when I say giving thanks, I mean, you know, you actually say something. Keeping up. Sharing biblical truths you have been learning. It's a great place for that. Discussion. Nothing better than a discussion. I say a discussion or a dialogue about all of life. It's nice that you can just discuss anything. And kids can be pretty interesting. Man, I sometimes have little kids come up to me and talk to me about things, and it's like, and they're so excited, and I can remember going home to my father as a child. Now, here's where you need to take a breath. And my father was a dictator in these areas. He had no example. And at the mealtime, first of all, I was happy when he wasn't home. Have you ever asked your kids if they were happy if you weren't home? Bottom line is this. You never had a conversation. Now, when I finally got out of high school and away from home, my dad and I had conversations. He had an excuse. He was an unsaved man that didn't have a family. What's your excuse? Conversation about life. Learning. Wow. Exploring ideas. And here's one, friend, that you're not going to like. There are people in this room that struggle with eye contact. And your children struggle with eye contact. And they don't do well in preaching or teaching because the moment the eyes are some other place, they start bouncing. You learn eye contact when you're having a conversation with a kid. Let me ask you, some of you have been here all 20 years. Have you ever seen me talk to a child? Every child, regardless of who they are, I'm not talking about a kid my height. A little child, every single time, tell them something. Let me see your face. I don't have to think about it because you communicate through the eyes. Too many of our children are always looking at something. They don't know how to communicate. Well, mom and dad doesn't communicate to them. And by the way, television is not a communicative concept. Don't bring your grandchildren over and watch TV. Bring your grandchildren over and take them on a bike ride. TV is... Next. The Bible talks about when thou risest up. That's number four. I'm getting ahead of myself. Event and activity time, walkest by the way. In the ancient world, you didn't drive too much, you walked. Shocking, isn't it? Now I have to drive, but then I go walking at night. Isn't that weird? So there's another time we can do this, when thou walkest by the way. We find this in Deuteronomy 6:7 and 11:19. I say in your notes, this is the most flexible of all the times. Going to, taking a walk, dropping off, driving to. You got lots of different times you're doing things. Now, it's going to require that you turn off whatever you have on in your car. Let me ask you a question. You got a new minivan? Did you buy the two packages so all of your children have an individual screen to look at? I'm not opposed to you having one of those. Maybe on a trip for 7 hours when a kid's small, maybe they need to watch something until they go to sleep. But may I say this? When you're going places, it's the greatest time in the world. Because the worst thing to do is to walk up to your kid. Here's my kid. We're going to have a talk. Kids are like, oh. But you can do the same thing by saying, I'm running out to Menards. Now, I never go to Menards. But if I ever went to Menards, see, Amy won't go walking with me anymore because of a couple reasons. The main reason is she says, oh, you just want to talk, Dad. So I got to sneak it up on her. I have to sneak it past her. But we're going to Menards. You go to Menards, it's really weird. They're sitting in the front seat. You're sitting in the front seat. They don't know it. But you're on purpose saying, you know, we're going to do some things together where we're going to have a conversation. And maybe you have something specific you want to talk about. Hey, wouldn't it be nice if the fathers in this room could talk to their daughters about body image? So we wouldn't have 40 and 50 and 60-year-old women consumed with wondering what people think about how they look. Wouldn't it be nice if they could get what they're supposed to get from dad? By the way, you can't sit a teenage girl down and say, now, oh, no. That happens just in the normal conversations. It happens because the daughter knows what dad thinks of the daughter. All those things are kind of important. In your notes, almost, and I mean almost. I mean, obviously there are times to do things alone. Almost always take a child, or if you have grandchildren, a grandchild. Take a child, not a group. unless this is for mom. Now, if you got five kids and mom just wants a break, it's okay to take all five. But don't take two or three kids because the conversation doesn't work the same. Everybody knows that. We're talking about one-on-one time. Take one of the children tonight, take another one tomorrow night, walk with a different one the third night, mix it up. So if you have a group of children and mom needs a break, yeah, take all of them. Next, talk. And more importantly, let the child talk. And children talk. Talk about what comes up. Talk about whatever comes up, whatever they're thinking. Are you ready for the next one? Let the child talk. You say you've already said that. I know. I did it on purpose. Let the child talk. Males, let the child talk. Males, let the child talk. This is a male problem, especially if you're self-centered. You don't even realize. You just talk about yourself all the time. Child doesn't do any talking when you're talking. Let the child talk. You got grandchildren, let them talk. You say it's boring. They probably think you're boring too. Next, follow up on their conversations. Here's where the action really begins. Ask questions. I don't like the first question, but it's okay. How do you feel about, for me, it's going to be, what do you think about? However, and this is another problem we sometimes have, no probing questions or third degree questions. When I say, you know, when you follow up, it just means, so you kind of like so-and-so at school. What do you think about, you know, just follow up, but don't go into, you know, asking personal probing. Kids will never talk to you after that. I believe this is a good place for listening. Before I go farther, in my experience, this is not universal, of course. Nothing is universal like this. I'm using precise language for all of you that are interested. Males talk out loud about themselves. And I think they never even know they're doing it. That's the weird part about it. I think they do not know. They just talk about themselves. Women talk just as much. By the way, I'm not using Christian woman. I'm using male and female. This is the lowest common denominator. I don't think we listen. Women don't always talk out loud. They talk internally. The problem, and it's, by the way, it's about themselves too. The problem is when you're talking out loud or internally, you're not having a conversation. So folks, if you have children or grandchildren, or forget children or grandchildren, because frankly, some of us, it'd be nice if we would drop the children, grandchildren thing and make think, there's other kids too. Yes? There might be other people that needs conversation. Take another child. By the way, there's a person that sits right here. I never say anything good about her when she's here. Debbie McGrail does this with lots of kids. Did you know that? And they're not her kids. She's always doing things with kids. Quit talking about yourself. Take them someplace. You say, well, where can we take them? Well, you could take them to some expensive restaurant like Wendy's. For $8 and like 50-something cents, you can buy 2 4-for-4s. You say, how do you know this? Because I bought two of them yesterday. You can buy two of those, sit down with a meal, have a meal with a kid, talk. And just let them talk and talk and talk. And you can know where to help them, follow up on conversations. Yeah. Or not, you could be one of those people that I drive alone because people irritate me. Please look at me. Do you remember the beginning of this? We are what we love. Love to do and do for love. So you're telling me what I'm really in love with is this person. That'll show up in kids too. Bedtime. When thou liest down. So you actually have four different periods of time the Bible gives us. Mealtime, when y'all sittest in thine house. Event or activity time, which to me is one of the better ones because it's so flexible. You can do it anytime, any place. Bedtime, when thou liest down. Says it in both texts. Here's my basic thoughts about this. First of all, it ought to be happy for everyone. Now, I say this, and I know this is going to be funny. I say the same thing you think twice. Happy for everyone and for everyone. How do children learn when to go to bed and when to get up? You missed everything I've said so far this morning. It's what the parents do. What you do is the only thing that matters. Talking won't help. Now, by the way, you can talk about why you do it, but children should know a rhythmic nature of life. And Tim, what is the problem we have with teenagers? What time do they go to bed? I asked kids 10 years ago, I said, when do you go to bed? And I thought I would have a good answer. Then I realized I shouldn't have asked that question. I should have asked where they go to bed. And the answer is, because mom and dad, nobody is, I don't know what's happened to our culture. You see in North Carolina chaos, murder, stupidity, and you wonder, where does that come from? The problem is our whole national culture has lost any semblance of sense. Folks, Duncan over here is not going to be up rioting at 2 a.m. because Duncan is sleeping. Do you understand? You ever hear the old statement, they only come out at night? Sleep all day. Why do you think these riots aren't at noon? They're sleeping. Folks, you learn this, sorry, Frenchie, not by talking, and you need to go to bed. You do this because they see mom and dad do this. This is just part of what you do. You know, you brush your teeth, you take a shower. Hello? You brush your teeth, you take a shower, and at nighttime, at a certain time, within 30 minutes or so, you go to bed and the kids do too. Yeah. It's a happy time, though. Now, I realize when the kid's one, it's not always happy. But this is something you develop in them, in your notes. Consistent, not OCD. OCD has nothing to do with Christianity. It's rhythmic. To be specific, they call it circadian rhythm. And I'm not going to say anything that you can't find in any study on the subject of sleep. Try not to vary much more than 1 hour either direction. So if you normally go to bed and you have a bedtime of 10, or you have a bedtime of midnight, and your child has a bedtime of 8 p.m., you don't want to vary much more than an hour either direction. You pretty much want to be in that rhythm. Otherwise, you start suffering from jet lag. I think you should know this by now. Problem is, parents, especially if they don't work, like to stay up watching television. Kids see that. They want to stay up watching television. It just goes on and on, folks. Circadian rhythms. I am so boring that you don't have to ask where I am at certain times of the day. Is that right, Tim? I am the most boring person you have ever met, intentionally. All right. How are you liking this so far? You say, my child doesn't want to go to bed. Of course not, folks, not if they haven't done it. In your notes, this sets the tone for the next day, of course. If a child has that nice, happy, rhythmic, you know, consistent bedtime, sets the tone for the next day. I've said this so many times, it's the most important part of the day of today is the night before. The most important part of today is the night before. Last thought, first thought. Start, you know, when the kids are young, Bible text. It's supposed to be in your heart, share it with your children. Prayer. I'm a big fan of praying with your children when they go to bed. This is terrible English, but you will understand. Tons of love when a child goes to bed. I'll get to the next two in a moment. Please look at me. The biggest mistake that I think my parents' generation made, and see, I don't know. I don't understand child rearing before World War II. And of course, with my dad not having a family, I have a hard time reaching back into his generation. I sometimes wonder, were families always bad? And I don't have an answer for that. But I do know this. After World War II, in the invention of TV, life got pretty messed up. Some people cannot imagine not having that TV on. They just can't comprehend it. And then when that started coming on, conversation started shrinking. Oftentimes, parents eat at home. Mom cooks the meal, and the children and the parents are in different rooms eating. Do you understand how unhealthy that is? There's never a time when we're just kind of together in a rhythmic, routine kind of way. Another thing that I saw in my parents' generation was, now I never did it, my wife never did it, but I heard it a lot. Go to bed without supper. Now the food's not the issue. What's the issue? Frenchie, let's see how much, Frenchie, last thought, first thought. When a child goes to bed like that, what is the last thought on their mind? Mom and dad really are not happy with me. By the way, that child should go to bed thinking, whatever problems you've had during the day, those problems, by the way, I know you've heard these verses before, and let not the sun go. That child ought to go to bed thinking, Mom and Dad love me, happy with me, no yelling and screaming. You say, well, they're not perfect. They're going to be a lot less perfect because they're going to develop a lifetime of habits of going to bed angry, going to bed frustrated. Have them go to bed happy, thinking about the Lord. When my kids were young, this is me. This is me. From birth up until John was at Bob Jones University and Amy was already probably into her master's degree, I would call them or they would call me at night when they were away. I love you. I'm glad I'm your dad. By the way, some of you might want to write this down and do it. I love you. I'm glad I'm your dad. I'm glad you're my daughter or son, and I'm glad Jesus gave you to me. I said those so many times to my kids. Why? Because I wanted them to know when they went to bed, things was good. How about you? Bedtime. Happy, not shut up and go to bed. See, that's about mom and dad, usually dad being angry. And the kids are interrupting my TV time. In your notes, tons of love. All electronics off and stowed. Turn them off, put them away. I said this, I asked kids, what time do you go to bed? And Pastor Kwok was correct. The real question was, where do you go to bed? Most of them went to bed wherever they were playing with a device. Look up here. Wherever they were playing with a device, and this was 10 to 15 years ago. It was when your oldest son was in school, so it's 15 years ago. They went to bed wherever their device was. What do your children have devices in bed with them for? Is the Secret Service going to call? CIA? Turn them off, put them in a basket, get them away from kids. By the way, what's good for the goslings is good for? Certain time at night, I turn my phone off. You say, what if it's an emergency? It'll still be an emergency in the morning. Positive, no anger, no bitterness, no yelling. Start up. This is the time when you begin, when thou risest up. Have those verses your children memorize early. Psalm 118:24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Whatever verse, get them going properly. Folks, please look at me. Do you want to know what I want this church to be known for? Look me in the eyes. This. I don't want this church to be known as a King James only church. I don't want this church to be known as a creationist church. We are creationist. We are dispensational. I want this church to be known as people that love their kids and their kids love them and follow on the Lord. And that won't happen with business as usual. It'll happen when you decide, I'm going to teach my children in the normal circumstances of life. When we sit in the house at a meal, when we walk by the way or drive by the way going someplace, when we lie down and when we rise up. By the way, I got old people here. This goes for grandkids too. See, this isn't some game we play for a short period of time, because this is how we really influence kids. Do you want to influence your kids? Yes or no? Turn off the noise. Start talking. Let them talk. Wow. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I ask your blessing on our Sunday school time. In Christ's name, amen.